Have you ever felt abandoned before? Maybe on a small scale or a large scale. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, where you've gotten tickets for the movies or a show or a sporting event, and you had a bunch of friends lined up to go, and then last minute one of them bails and you're stuck with a ticket. You're the one that volunteered to pay, and everybody agreed, and you're left with a bill trying to find somebody last minute, asking any friend they'll come, but you're not going to make them pay because it's last minute and you might as well just bring somebody along. Something that, abandonment can be like that simple, or it can be pretty deep and profound. I spent the afternoon yesterday with a group of people walking through grief journals where you write out all the things that you're, all the grief that you've had in your life, and listened. And there was this reoccurring theme of abandonment from parents and relationships. And some of those wounds are so deep. This young man shared a story of how, as a young kid, as early as he can remember, his mom locked him in their apartment while she went to work, while his dad was in the military. And how deep-rooted that was in his life, where he felt like nobody cared about him. You know, in this day and age, we would call child services. But back in the day, it was the thing. And these wounds can go deep and hard. We've been looking through the book of Acts and following the story here in the book of Acts. And we're going to be in Acts chapter 13 this morning. And it starts off in this passage with the concept of abandonment. But there's several things in this passage that we're going to hit this morning. For me, this is really like a potpourri passage. There's a little bit in here for each and every single one of us. And my prayer, as I sat on the beach all week this week, thinking about you all. Sorry. That's a lie. My prayer for you this morning is that as you listen and follow along in Acts chapter 13, as we watch the first, it's known as the first missionary journey of Paul, and the different things that pop up, there's four things that I see here this morning that stick out to me. And my prayer has been that one of them will land in your soul today. There's one here for you. Maybe all four are here for you. But at least one of them, I believe, is going to land this morning. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. I'm calling this one, Let Your Light Shine. And Acts chapter 13, if you don't have a Bible with you, we've provided one in front of you. It starts on page 894 and goes into 895. We're going to start down in verse 13. And I just want to give some, like, the pre-story here in the first 12 verses, what's happened. Last week I talked about the church in Antioch and how it got started, and how the Christians were first, disciples were first known as Christians in Antioch, that the people in the community gave them that title. And so the church in Antioch, Syria Antioch, because we're going to talk about another one this morning, sets apart Paul and Barnabas. And they set apart Paul and Barnabas, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they send them out. They sailed to Cyprus. This is Barnabas' home, so he's going back home to share the good news of Jesus. They share the good news all over the whole island, and it says John Mark was with them. John Mark is the one who wrote the book of Mark in the Bible provided in front of you. And so that's kind of the precursor to what's going on here in the rest of the chapter, in chapter 13. And I want to start in verse 13. We're going to go to verse 16 and then jump down to 36. It's a long passage, and for the sake of time, I'll give you the Pastor Jeff Cliff Note version. And so starting in verse 13, it says, from Pamphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them and returned to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went on to Pistini, Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak." Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Fellow Israelites, and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me." Now jump down to verse 36. "Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from sin, a justification you would not be able to obtain under the law of Moses." I want to stop there and kind of look through this section here this morning. So at the beginning of the story, they've gone all over the whole island of Cyprus, and this guy, John Mark, was with them. And they set sail to Perga. They go across the sea. I'll show you a map in a second. And when they get to Perga, Mark leaves them. We're given no indication here in the text that we read why he leaves. Maybe he was homesick. Maybe he was okay with going to Cyprus, but now they were going to go out throughout the rest of what was known as Galatia, and maybe he was scared. For whatever reason, he left, and he goes home. And so later in the books of Acts, Paul and Barnabas are linked back up with John Mark, and he wants to go with them again. And Paul's like, "Nope, not going to do it." And they literally split ways, and maybe we'll get to that as we look through the book. But they press on to Antioch and Pisidia. And so here's, once again, this is, can you squint? That's what is now known as Turkey. And so they started out over here in Antioch, and they went to the island of Cyprus. They went throughout Cyprus. It says they went throughout the whole island, and then they set sail over here, landed in Perga. When they got to Perga, John Mark bails, and they go up here to the other Antioch in Galatia or Pisidia, and that's where they end up in this story. And Paul is given this opportunity to get up and speak in the synagogue. We don't know if this was a regular occurrence, but understand that in this day and age, they didn't have television. They didn't have radio. The only way to find out news was when outsiders came in. And so these guys show up, and there's new faces in the synagogue. So they had to have come from somewhere. So it's really kind of the concept of what can you tell us? You know, what have you seen? What have you heard? What's going on? And so Paul's like, "All right, let me tell you." And he stands up and he speaks. And if you read through the rest of that section that I omitted, I'd really encourage you to do so. He recaps the story all throughout the Old Testament, starting with Moses. And he goes into the Promised Land. He goes into the Judges and the kings, all the way to the prophets. He shares the story very similar to what Peter shares in Acts chapter 2, which is known as Pentecost, or when Stephen shares in chapter 7 to those listening there, which resulted in a stoning, which Paul himself was a part of instigating. So Paul is sharing a very similar story that led to somebody else's death. So just sit on that for a second. He doesn't know how these people are going to respond to the message that he's sharing, but he's giving it anyways. And maybe this is one of the reasons why John Mark bailed. I've seen what has happened in other places, and I'm not sure, like, Perga's far enough for me. And maybe there's times in our lives where we reach, like, a Perga moment, and we're like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to press on past Perga. Maybe I'll turn around and go home, because going any further is going to be a little bit hard. And there's no indication whatsoever that Paul was concerned with his life at all. He was so overwhelmed by the grace of God that he had to share the message. And he shares that message with them. He highlights all the key moments in Israelite history that led all the way up to Jesus. And then he describes Jesus as the good news, which is also the gospel. And he shares that good news. Through Jesus, he says there is forgiveness of sins. He proclaims this, that you are set free from your debt of sin. You're set free from sin. It no longer binds you. The key element of your separation from God is now gone. Your relationship with God is restored through Messiah Jesus. Do you want that, listeners? Do you want that? And not only that, you're not just set free. You're justified. There's justification for you as a person now. You're not just free of sin. There's a deposit at which God has placed in your soul. And so this really is good news. It's good news. This week, my wife and I were listening to the radio when we were driving, and we heard the story of this man who owns a Mexican restaurant. We missed where it was, but he allows people to buy a meal and essentially pay it forward. So you can buy your own meal and then buy an extra meal, and a little tag gets put up on the wall, and then anybody can come in and grab that tag and get a hot meal. And he said he did it because at several times in his life, he was down on his luck. At one point, he lived in his car, and he felt lesser than less, lower than low. And so I know how people feel, even to the point of not knowing where my next meal comes from. And now I have means, and I want to pay it forward. And I'm sure there's other people that want to pay it forward, too. And Annette and I were like, why is this not in every restaurant in America? The reality is, through Jesus, you're not no longer soul poor. You're soul rich. You don't have to worry about your next meal or your next meal or your next meal of your soul. There are an endless supply of tickets on the wall for you. And so when you come from Jesus, your life is literally turned upside down and propped up and held by the Father. He knows what you need and will supply it all. You're not just free from sin. Your life is restored, Paul is saying to these people. And if that's not good news, I don't know what is. He goes on here in verse 40 to verse 47 here. Follow along as I read. Take care that what the prophet has said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts of Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowd, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We have to speak the word of God to you first. Since you rejected it and did not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." I have made you a light to the Gentiles. The next week, the whole city shows up. He speaks once, shares the good news, and it just spreads. Hey, listen, there's good news. Some people have come and they've brought good news. I guess there's nothing better to do in Antioch and Pisidina. Like, all right, let's show up. Let's listen to what these guys have to say. And the Jews who have heard the message, who were excited the week before, now all of a sudden get jealous, because they're not the main speakers anymore. These outsiders have come in, and they're stealing our glory. And so they get jealous, and so they keep abuse on Paul. Like, anything that he says, they're trying to contradict. In the Greek, it says blasphemous. They're speaking against Paul, but they're also speaking against Jesus. The good news that Paul had just shared, and they're just heaping on, heaping on, heaping on. Don't listen to this guy, don't listen to this guy, don't listen to this guy. So he switches his focus, and he turns it on the Gentiles, because they're listening. And he quotes here in Isaiah 49, verse 6, I have made you a light to the Gentiles. I'm going to go share that light. I'm not going to let anything cover that up. Oftentimes, on a Sunday morning, I get up before anybody else. And we have these dark out window shades. And because we have these dark out window shades, oftentimes when I get up, I kick something, I hit something, I trip over something, and then I'm doing everything in my power not to, like, scream and say things I shouldn't. Because I don't want to wake my wife up. I want to allow her to sleep. It is so much easier when the light is on. If I could just flip my light on, I could see where I'm going. Like, sometimes those of us who call ourselves followers of Christ are walking around this earth without our light on. And we're tripping over things, and we're tripping over each other. I made the mistake of going on Facebook this morning. I got a little update. Oh, yeah, I jumped on, and I literally saw two groups of my Christian friends fighting with each other for the whole world to see. Well, they're friends, and they're friends, and they're friends' friends, and they're friends' friends' friends. And I just want to go, ah. I sat there, and I formulated a response for 30 minutes, and I thought, my response is just going to keep it going. So I hearken back to last week. We have to allow the world to know what we're for, not what we're against. And if we're against one another as followers of Christ, we've shut the light off. And the world sees us and not Jesus. We have to let the light of Jesus shine. Otherwise, all we're doing is building up what Paul later calls chaff to be burned up in the last days. It's meaningless. It's nothing. We're arguing over being right, and we're probably both wrong. Sometimes I can't wait to get to heaven to see these two groups of people who hated each other on earth worshiping God together in heaven. I think sometimes we're going to look over and go, holy crap, how did you get here? We've shut the light off. And Paul easily could have let the response of those speaking against him shut his light off. He could have gone, you know what? They're right. I'm such an idiot. I've wasted my time. I'll just go back to Perga and sail home. Or he could press on and let the light of Jesus shine in his life, so that people could continue to hear the good news. He could turn and focus, and he could argue with them, and he could prove them wrong. Oh, you're such, yeah, you don't get it. You've missed it. Or he could continue to let the light of Jesus shine so that people saw Jesus and not him. So the story continues in verse 48. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. We had to speak the word of God to you first, since you rejected it and did not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life. We now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded. I have made you a light to the Gentiles, and you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Here in verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who had pointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread throughout the whole region, but the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and they expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust off their feet as a warning to them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. I love this. So this, he goes on, the word of the Lord spread throughout the whole region. It didn't matter what these people were saying against Paul. The word of God spread. Good news cannot be stopped. It can't be stopped. No matter how many terrible news titles that we see, the good news always skirts through. Jewish leaders stir up the whole city. They stir up the leaders, and they literally expel Paul and Barnabas. And this is my favorite part here. They shook the dust off their feet. This is the connotation here. I will take none of that with me. I'm not going to take any of it with me. I'm not going to carry it with me. It's not mine to carry. I will continue to walk in the light. In this day and age, they wore sandals. And so when you tap, the dust falls off. And they symbolically, at the edge of town, tap the dust off their feet and they move on, saying, I'm not going to allow any of that attack, anything that was spoken against me, to continue as I move forward. I think some of us are walking around dusty. We're dusty, and we need to shake it off. We have this awesome and sometimes frustrating puppy at home. We love her. She will lick your face to death. And she hates baths, but she's a golden doodle, so we need to bathe her at least every other week. Otherwise, she gets all matted up. And you can dry her off and dry her off and dry her off, and you will never get her dry until she sits there and just goes. And it just goes everywhere in the bathroom. And then as soon as we open up that bathroom door, it is like she's like a bat out of hell. She runs downstairs, and we have videos of her just running around the living room like, you kept me in there, Satan. And she's looking. And then she'll stop and she'll look at you and go like, I can't believe you did that to me. And then she'll shake again in the living room and she'll shake a little. I'm not going to let any of that stay on me. What you did to me, you mean evil owners. And then she'll come and lick our face off. Annette and I were at the Jersey Shore this week. And the beach was great. It was great. It was sunny. We had a great time at the beach. Saw the crazies and the normal people, both of which God convicted me for. And then we went into the water, and the water was filthy. I mean, it was gross. And please don't hear me. I'm not trying to speak disparagingly against the Jersey Shore. We loved our stay. The water was gross. And we got in it, and we lasted maybe 15, 20 minutes. We're just like, ah. And there was these showers up behind us, just off the sand, nowhere near the boardwalk. I'm like, why would they put showers there? Because then you're just going to walk through the sand, get sand all off. And then I thought, oh, no, they're trying to get the scurvy off. And so we figured this out the second day as we watched everybody do it. Like, oh, they're getting the scurvy off. And the second day we were there, we went up and we, like, rinsed off. And you literally felt like yuck was coming off of you. And then you could go back and enjoy the beach. I think a lot of us have allowed the stuff of life to stick to us. And we've just accepted it. And we've sat in life with it hanging on. And we really need to shake it off or rinse it off and move on. I love Paul's self-awareness here, that everything that was spoken against him didn't get to carry on to the next city. I'm not going to bring that with me. That's not mine to own. I think a lot of us are owning things that is not ours to own. And we need to shake it off or rinse it off this morning. And so I really believe, like, there's four kind of things we highlighted here this morning. And understand that we could go knee deep in each and every single one of these, and maybe you do. But these were the four that I saw this morning. Some of us just need to know we're not alone. There's been some form of abandonment by human, and we need to know that God is with us. That humans will come and go, but God is going nowhere. He is with you. He loves you. He wants you. We heard it from our students this morning. They learned this at Life. God doesn't need you. He wants you. You are never alone. Some of us just need to rest in God's grace. We need to absorb that. We need to wear that. We need to rest in it and know that everything that we need in our souls is provided for by God. Our souls have no need to be hungry anymore, because any amount of hunger that we need soul-wise is provided for by the Holy Spirit through the death of Jesus given by God. Some of us need to stop hiding our light. We need to let our light shine in our workplaces, in our homes, in the environments that we find ourselves in, and not be scared to let people see what we're for and not what we're against. And finally, some of us need to dust off our sandals. There's some stuff of life that is sticking to you right now. You've been carrying it way too long, and you literally need to dust it off, rinse it off, let it go. So whichever one of these is yours this morning, own it. We have notepads in the pews if you need to write something down, if you need to take a picture of this, if you need to circle it, whatever you need to do to own this morning, please do. You got time and space. Maybe you're going on vacation. Maybe you're just coming back from vacation. You're like, what are you talking about, Pastor Jeff? But you need to sit with this. And so I want to give us a little bit of space this morning. The worship team can come back up. If you could kind of just play through that last song that we're going to sing without singing. Maybe you need to close your eyes and focus on this. Maybe you need to look around the room and see the others that are here and know that you are not alone. Maybe you need to look at the lights above and know that you are a light. And the world needs to see your light and let it shine. The light switch of your soul needs to be turned off. Maybe you're wearing sandals this morning. And you need to look down at your feet. Or literally take them off, or your shoes, and just kind of to symbolically let it go this morning. Whatever you need to do, I want to give you space for this morning. We're going to have prayer people up here that are willing to pray with you. But let's just take the next couple of minutes and just kind of sit with these. And maybe you're the rarity this morning. You're like, Pastor Jeff, I'm good. That's awesome. Maybe there's somebody in your sphere of influence that needs help on with one of these. I want to ask the Lord to bring them to mind for you. So let's just take the next couple minutes and I'll pray. Maybe we need a whole day to sit with these, but this morning, on your behalf, I come to you and I ask for those who came in this morning feeling a sense of abandonment in their soul. I ask right now that you would speak to that, that you would give them a picture, an image, a word, an understanding that not only are they not alone today, they're not alone tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that. There is nowhere where they can go where you are not there wanting to be with them. Allow them to know that they are wanted and loved by the Father. Some walked in this morning feeling gross and dirty from the stuff of their life, feeling like there was something that just was not forgivable. And so, look, this morning, Lord, I ask that they would rest in your grace, that they would be overwhelmed by a sense of forgiveness this morning, that they are loved by the Father, that everything in their life that they chose that was not good literally falls away, and a deposit of grace is put in their soul. Everything that they need is found in you. Some walked in this morning without their light on, whether it was out of fear or neglect or whatever. Lord, I ask that you would flip the light of their soul on, that others would see you through them, in their homes, in their workplaces, that they would not be able to escape the light that they see shining in the lives of those who turn lights on this morning. And some walked in this morning with stuff clinging to them, not of their own accord, but because of others. Words of accusation, words that landed and stuck, things of their past that hung on, mostly not by their choice, but by others. Lord, I ask right now that they would shake it off, that a fresh water of the Holy Spirit would wash over them, and they would walk out of this place this morning feeling clean, feeling rinsed off, feeling new. That stuff doesn't get to stick to them. Their soul is not Velcro, it's Teflon to this, and it slides right off this morning. The only thing that gets allowed to stick is the love of Christ Jesus. This is my prayer. Lord, I ask that you would count it done. In Christ's name, amen. If you need more prayer, we'll have people up here for you to pray with you after. If you want to come now and sit in the front, that's fine. But will you join us in this last song as we close this morning?